Yevamos per Gimel Mishnah Yud 3:10. We end the chapter with a Mishnah which A has nothing to do with what we said before, not about Yevamos whatsoever, and B it's a funny Mishnah, a little peculiar and a little sad. Since we were talking about in the previous Mishnayos, brothers marrying sisters and people getting switched up in marriages and the questions that arise therefrom, so our Mishnah here is going to have a strange case and say how you could possibly have a mix-up which could lead to multiple isurim simultaneously, and what to do about it. So the Mishnah says, Shnaim shekidshu shtei anashim. You have two guys, and they marry two girls. They did kiddushin. Now you remember, kiddushin, the first step of marriage, is what effects the restriction of this woman to every other person on planet Earth, as an ashes ish, as a married woman, meaning even though they didn't have the second stage of marriage, chuppah, she didn't move in with him, still, if someone would sleep with her now, they'd be liable to bring a chatas as an ashes ish. So these two guys that got kedushin with these two girls, ubishas knisasin l'chuppah, when they're bringing them into the chuppah there, hechelifu es shel ze leze, the wives get mixed up, and Mr. A gets Mr. B's wife, the es shel ze leze, and Mr. B gets Mr. A's wife, meaning his arus, the one who had kedushin with them. And then they each end up sleeping with the person who actually is not the person with whom they did kedushin. So then, hare elu chayavim mishum eishas ish. So now, each of the parties involved is on the hook for doing the isser of eishas ish, of sleeping, of adultery. Now, just a few like technical points on this. Number one, the Mishnah says hechelifu. Hechelifu means they switched around, meaning the actual literal translation would suggest that these two men were like, you know, perverse and decided to intentionally switch their wives around and like trade wives. So that is the literal meaning, but that is definitely not the pshat in the Mishnah, not because the Mishnah couldn't conceive of such a strange activity, but because we'll see later on in the Mishnah, they're allowed to still stay married to their wives. And the din would be if a person intentionally, if a woman is intentionally mizana, so then she becomes forbidden to her husband. So that's not the case here. The case here is that they got mixed up on accident. So really, the proper grammar probably should be not hechelifu, they switched their wives, rather huchlefu, the wives got mixed up. Be that as it may, that's the Mishnah's intention. Now, second of all, just speaking out the chiv, when one sleeps with a married woman, that's a iser kares, a penalty of kares, and the consequences are when it's done b'shogeg, through negligence, not willfully done so, as the case over here is, then you're chayev to bring a chatas, a sin offering. So who brings the chatas? Both he and she, both the man and the adulterous woman, both each have to bring a chatas. So in our scenario here, since there are two men and two women, and they're both pairs are like illicit relationships, even if it's b'shogeg accidental, so that means that all four of them will have to bring one chatas. So it's one chatas per customer, or four in total. Now the Mishnah adds and says, Hayu achim, if it happens to be that these two guys were actually brothers, so things get more complicated, they're also obligated mishum eishes ach. In addition to eishes ish, in addition to the prohibition of sleeping with someone else's wife, they also have the prohibition of a woman can't sleep with her husband's brother. That's what we learned from the Masechta many times already, unless in the context of Yibum. That being the case, if the two men were brothers, so then the two acts of adultery between, you know, the two couples end up making all four parties on the hook for two korbanos, two chataos, one chatas for eishes ish, which is a chiyuv karas, and one chatas for eishes ach, your brother's wife, also a chiyuv karas, and therefore also a chiyuv chatas. As a side point, there's a machlokas tanaim whether you can have like multiple isurim chalim on top of the other and piling up like that. This tana holds yes, you could have multiple isurim that could, you know, aggregate to have you be chayav multiple chatos if it's called isur babas achas, if like the forbidden act happens, you know, all at once. So one act that is two separate isurim will carry two simultaneous penalties of two chatos for each of the four participants. Says the Mishnah, v'mahayu achayos, if in addition, not just were the two men brothers, but the two women were sisters. So now you have another no-no that you've done. Mishum isha lechosa. There's a prohibition of marrying a woman and her sister, or sleeping with your wife's sister. And that being the case, since these guys each were marrying sisters, and they slept with their wife's sister accidentally, they're on the hook for yet another chatas. Now it's three per customer, one for eishes ish, one for eishes ach, and one for isha lechosa. Says the mission, not only that, but vim hayu nidos, if it happens to be that these women were nidos, I'm sure it was familiar, they were menstruating or whatever, nida, they were after without going to the mikvah, etc. So that, to sleep with a nida is also an iser karas, so which carries the penalty of a chatas. So now you're on the hook for a fourth one of mishum nida. So in total, each of the four participants would have to bring four chataos. If it turned out there are two brothers marrying two sisters, the couples got mixed up, and the two women were both nidos. Umafrishnosan shlosha chadashim. Now, look, moving on, past the obligation to bring the korbanos here, what do you do next? So since it was a mistake, the couples can stay together. But we need to first make sure that no one got pregnant, because if someone got pregnant, then the offspring would be mamzerim. So we can't just ignore that fact. And therefore, the rule is, after this happens, the husband and wife get correctly reunited, but they can't be together for 3 months. So mafrishno son shlosha chadashim, you separate them for 3 months, to see shema mu'ubarosen, lest one of the two women became pregnant. If they became pregnant, then that child would be a mamzer, because it's the offspring of an illegitimate relationship, which carried with it the penalty of karas. After you resolve that issue, they could get back together, but vimhayu katanos, if the women themselves were still minors, that means, let's say, they hadn't yet reached puberty, and therefore they couldn't get pregnant yet, whatever, or they were just katanos, the father accepted kedushin for them when they were like 11 years old. Sounds crazy, but in the time of the Mishnah, I don't think it was that uncommon for girls around 12 years old to get engaged, etc. But anyways, if it happened, so then, if they were katanos, she'enen ru'uyus le'led, since they are not fitting of giving birth, they're still too young to give birth, then machazir nasam miyad, then there's no reason to keep them separated for 3 months, because there's no chance that they're pregnant yet, and therefore there's no concern. Vimhayu kohanos, like a new point here, if it happened to be that these women were children of kohanim, meaning their father was a kohen, then nifslu min atruma, then they become forbidden, invalidated from ever eating truma. This is the final case, is a little different. The point is that if a woman is a bas kohen, a daughter of a kohen, so long as she is being living as part of her father's home, his household, and the Torah assumes that a woman essentially is always part of her father's household until she moves into with her husband, that's the case. So then, while she lives in the household of her father, she partakes in truma along with him. When she gets married to a non-kohen, so she becomes now part of her husband's household, the husband's not a kohen, therefore she no longer is allowed to partake of truma. If her husband dies, and this is a very important caveat, and she has no children from him, so then she now essentially reverts back to her father's household, meaning once again, she can eat truma. That's the normal case. If she has children from her marriage, so then she started her own household. She's like a separate unit, independent of her father. Therefore, even after her husband, the non-Kohen, dies, she doesn't like go back to her father's home, meaning she remains forever and no longer part of the Kohen's household and no longer will be able to eat truma. But assuming she has no children, she goes back to her father's household. That's the general rule. But our Mishnah is talking about a case where this woman was mezana. She was a participant in an adulterous act. Now, the rule is that a bas kohen who participates in an adulterous act, even if it's an accident, or even if it's intentional, or even if it's beyond circumstances beyond our control, right? Then we call it an onus. It doesn't matter. Whatever the case is, even as an onus, she becomes forbidden evermore from eating truma. So that means in the case over here, even though it was an accident, which is a shogeg, and her adultery was accidental, if she later, subsequently, gets reunited with her husband and he dies and they have no children, she would go back to her father's household, but forever be forbidden to partake of truma from his household because of what happened earlier on in the marriage. And that'll all be lahalacha. Before I wrap it up, let me just say that this idea of 3 months does also have halacha lamaisa ramifications beyond the very crazy case of our Mishnah. Anytime a woman gets divorced or widowed, she's supposed to wait 3 months before getting remarried to ensure that whatever child that comes later can certainly be ascribed to her new husband or her old husband as appropriate. And with that, we finished the third parak of Yevamos.